Welcome to our second sermon in our sermon series entitled, The Good Life. Today's sermon title, Be Rich in Good Works. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy 6, 18 through 19, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the God of true life. You promise us life abundant in this world and life eternal in the world to come. Please teach us to live well. Teach us to do good, to create beautiful, honorable, and desirable lives. Teach us to be able to give things away and to share. Help us to overcome our misguided sense of entitlement so that we lay a firm foundation for the future. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. I recently read John Townsend's book called The Entitlement Cure. I would recommend this book for anybody who has kids, no matter how old they are. I would really recommend this book. Townsend is a psychologist. He's a Christian psychologist. And basically, he says that we are a culture that has created an entitlement mentality. We have an entitlement mentality ourselves, and we have tragically taught it to our kids. So basically, what does he mean by entitlement? If you go to work and you think you should be paid just because you're there 8 hours, whether you produce anything or not, you have an entitlement mentality. You don't get paid to be at work, you get paid to produce. And over the years, I've had this struggle in our organization. People think they ought to get paid just because they show up here. That's the entitlement mentality. The opposite of the entitlement mentality is people have every right to expect me to produce at this level. Are you with me? Your kids have the entitlement mentality if they expect you to do things for them that they should be doing for themselves. It's the entitlement mentality, and it is deadly in the church. Do you see? It's deadly in the church because we develop a consumer religion where we have this expectation that it's really God's job to keep me happy. And if God's not keeping me happy, he's messing up some way. Church, find that verse in the Bible for me. It's God's job to keep me happy. Fact is, when I read the Bible, here's what I hear. It's my job to serve God. In the entitlement Christianity, we get way off track because we turn things around and we expect God to do what we're supposed to do, and we make ourselves entitled little deities. And then we end up treating everybody around us terribly. So last week we began a sermon series, and we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17, where The Apostle Paul said, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to think they're better than other people. When I spoke at the North Campus, this word that gets translated haughty is really a verb that says, I think I'm better than you are because of what I have. Isn't that common in the world we live in? I must be better than you. Look at the neighborhood I live in and the neighborhood you live in. I must be better than you. I drive a Cadillac. You drive a 1978 Volkswagen with the fenders rusting off. Isn't that common? And then he said, don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with all the good things we need, and look how it ends, a life that we can enjoy. We don't let wealth make us think we're better than other people. We don't think our security comes from what we have accumulated. We look for our value and our security in our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're Christians, do you see? Now, I know some of you saying, that's not written for me, I'm not rich. Okay, if you have a household income of $40,000 or more, you are in the top 4% of wealthy people in the world. If you have a household income of $48,000 or more, you are in the top 1%. Do you hear that? Whether you acknowledge it or not, this verse is written for us. We are rich. The trouble is, we have this very human flaw that I would be rich if I was LeBron James and worth $600 million. Well, LeBron says, I would be rich if I was the Koch brothers and I was worth $48 billion. Well, the Koch brothers say, I would be rich if I was Warren Buffett at $76 billion. Buffett says, I would be rich if I was Bill Gates at $86 billion. And Bill Gates says, yeah, I'm rich. All right. I think everybody in here has had a life experience that made you suspicious of finding happiness in things. There was a time when it was easy to believe that. When I was poor and couldn't afford a Coke, it was easy to believe if I could just buy a Coke whenever I wanted to, I'd be happy. The trouble is, when you get this stuff all around you and happiness avoids you, then you have to think differently about life. Then you have to start saying to yourself, what really constitutes the good life? Because it isn't what I thought. Church? So Paul proceeds this week at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. He proceeds and says, instruct people who are rich like us to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and to share. Overcoming the entitlement of riches requires that we take action, because if we don't, that entitlement will get worse and worse. Let's look at this verse and dissect it. The first thing he says is, tell them to do good. This is just the common New Testament word for good. It simply means, at the basic level of everyday life, do good. Don't think it's somebody else's job. When you look around you and you see an opportunity to do good, do it. Instead of saying, that's really, I should not have to do that job. I hate garbage in our parking lot. If you're the one throwing it there, I pray that the Lord holds you accountable for it. I look at garbage in our parking lot and go, after 35 years, I shouldn't have to pick this up. That's entitlement. And you know what I do? Just because I think it, I make myself pick it up. Church, we have to discipline ourselves to look around us, and where we see the opportunity to do good, we have to start saying, my life will be better if I do the good thing in this moment. Not, this isn't my job, somebody else should have to do it. Church? By the way, it really, really works good at home too. Just saying. Take a little of that home. The second phrase is really interesting, to be rich in good works. All right, I don't know if you know, but for the last 3 years, I've been trying to write a sermon series on beauty. The Bible has a lot to say about beauty. If you just take a lexicon, and you can look up all the times the word beauty appears in the Bible. It is a very biblical word, but I bet you've never heard a sermon on beauty. The Bible's full of it. The trouble is, it's a very hard topic. One of the words that is part of this study on beauty, I tried again this year. I read another 3 books in my study month, and you won't get the sermon series on beauty this year, maybe next year. One of the words is this word that gets translated good here. So in the English Bible, it says, do good and be rich in good works. It looks like the word good is the same, but in the original text, they're 2 different words. One is agatha, just the common word for good. This is the word kalos. And when you study how this word is used in the Greek language, it really means beautiful, honorable, agreeable, and desirable in itself. Aristotle uses this word for somebody who has learned to be agreeable, and people just like being around them. There's something beautiful about them that people want to be around. So listen to what he's saying. In your everyday life, if you see a chance to do good, do it. But be strategizing to create beauty around you. Be strategizing to create an environment of honor around you. Strategize to relate to people in the kind of way that they enjoy being around you. That's what Paul is teaching us. Okay. If I feel entitled, I think that's somebody else's job. Somebody else should be making this place beautiful. Somebody else should be working hard to be agreeable. Of course I'm agreeable. Who doesn't get along with me? That's entitlement mentality, right? If you don't get along with me, it must be your fault. That's entitlement mentality. This is what Paul says. Paul says, tell rich people like us that they need a strategy to be creating beauty and honor and an agreeable environment. They need to work at being a desirable person. That is core to the good life. Do you work at being agreeable? Some of us have to work at it. Some of you just are lucky. You got it, right? Just, you got it, agreeable. You wake up agreeable. You don't even have to comb your hair in the morning. You're just set. Some of us wake up grouchy. We got to work at it. And listen to what Paul says. Paul says, If you're going to live well, you have to be rich in creating beauty and honor and a desirable life around you. In fact, it might be the definition of really living well. The third thing he says is, this is the only place in the whole New Testament this word is used. It gets translated generous here. It should be translated, be good at giving things away. It's three words pressed into one. Paul says, get good at giving things away. That's a little annoying for you hoarders, isn't it? Everybody in this room has something you could give away. You do. It's been in the closet since 1962. All right, 72. But somehow or another, it lingers. Right? You say, I'll put it in a garage sale. Give it away. Paul said, if you're going to live the good life, you got to get good at giving stuff away. Oh, that feels a little creepy, doesn't it? The fourth thing he says is, be generous, be willing to share. All right, now I don't want this to be vague. I want every one of us, we're going to do some homework together right now. In your thinking, what would it look like for you to get better at doing good in your home? If you thought to yourself, I'm going to make a conscious effort to do more good in my home, what would you do? Or about what would it look like at work? I'm going to make a conscious effort to do more good things at work. What would that look like? I'm going to make a conscious effort to do more good at church. I like that one. Let's go to the second one. Be rich in what is beautiful, honorable, agreeable, and desirable. What would that look like? What would it look like for you to bring a more beautiful personality to your home? I'm not talking about what you look like. I'm talking about who you are. This is the trouble on the study of beauty. America defines beauty as glamour. And you can be very glamorous and absolutely hideous. Can I have one amen? Amen. What would it look like for you to be more honorable at home? What would it look like for you to be more agreeable and more desirable at home? Do you really believe that Paul meant you should be rich in being beautiful, honorable, agreeable, and desirable? What would it look like at work? What would it look like at church? What would it look like to be good at giving things away at home? What would it look like to be good at giving things away at work? I'm not talking about your work to someone else. What would it look like to be a genuinely sharing person? Where people you lived with said, you are the most sharing person they know. Would anybody at your workplace say, you are conspicuous in your willingness to share? And when God looks at us as a church, does he see a group of people who are fanatical about doing good, who want to create beauty, honor, agreeability, and desirability? People are good at giving things away, and people who love to share. Is that what God sees? Because that's what God calls living well, church. That's what God says, if you're really going to get this right, you got to learn to do. I know what some of you are saying to me. Doc, if I do all that, what's in it for me? Well, Paul knew you would ask, so he gave you an answer. Verse 19. By doing this, you are storing up treasure for yourself. And that treasure will be a good foundation for your future. If you do good work, if you create beauty and honor around you, if you're good at giving things away, if you are generous in sharing, here's what you get. The treasure of good work, beauty, and generosity affects your life. Church? Doesn't everybody know the story of somebody who has it all, but they live a very ugly life? Very ugly life. Church? Isn't it common to hear about somebody who has it all, but's not an honorable person? They're just not honorable. Listen to what Paul is saying. We misunderstand what's really valuable. We misunderstand what is really valuable. There's nothing more valuable than somebody who makes everything better around them. Somebody who creates beauty. Somebody who raises the honor of everybody around them. And the second thing you get is you establish a solid foundation for your future. You have no future with an entitlement mentality. Do you know that? It's easy to see in other people. It's not easy to see in ourselves. Every one of us knows somebody who feels entitled, and we think you've got some rude awakening coming. Isn't that what we think? Well, sometimes God thinks that about us. He says, what kind of future are you building with that approach to life? He says, think of the future you'll build if you become the kind of person who just does good on every opportunity. A person who is rich in being beautiful and desirable and honorable. A person who gets the majesty of giving things away and is generous. Winston Churchill said, we make a living by what we get, we make a life by what we give. Oh, somebody said, say that one more time. Okay, just for you. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. How does these four acts give me a better future? Listen to what Jesus said. I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. See what Jesus says? You don't get the quality life the way you think you get it. You create a better future with these activities than you do with self-indulgent activities. Ah, but everybody in this room will bankrupt sooner than you think. Everyone in this room is headed for bankruptcy. The minute you die, you go bankrupt. You can't take anything with you. Church? You can't take anything with you. Ah, but Paul said you can have a treasure that is the foundation of your future life. You're not taking anything with you. You're taking you with you. The person with a long history of doing good. The person with the long history of creating beauty and honor and being agreeable and being the kind of person that enriched the people around them. The person who Millions, hundreds of people will tell stories about, did you know so-and-so just gave me this? Your reputation lives on because you gave something to someone who never expected to get something so nice. Church? We don't tell Jesus stories by what people gave him. We tell Jesus stories by what he gave people. Church? There's one more phrase. Not only do you lay a foundation for a better life, but you take hold of that which is truly life. Entitlement thinking never takes hold of true life. The rich are disillusioned. They are distracted by consumption, by status, by leisure, by accumulation, and by false security. But by faith in Christ, we live a life that is characterized by good work. We live a life that makes things around us more beautiful, more honorable, more desirable. We live a life that has been good at giving things away and sharing. And Paul said, by living that life, you take hold of what is true about life. You're not living a myth. You're living what is true about life. Hey, how about this? True life is not about what I do. True life is about what I do, not what I don't do. Do you hear this? True life is about what I do, not what I don't do. Too many Christians define their Christian life by what they don't do. I don't do this and I don't do that. Paul didn't put that on the list. Christianity doesn't make you a victim. Well, God victimized me. The way we slander the Almighty. I had a pretty good life before I became a Christian. Oh, now. Church, if you think that way, you've misunderstood. True life is about what I do, not what I don't do. True life is about beauty and honor more than it is about indulgence. Let me run this by you. When I think about my life, the things I regret the most and have the most remorse over are not on this list. I never wake up at night and feel regret that I did some good thing. I never have any regret for creating beauty, trying to be honorable. I don't have any regret of anything I've ever given away. I have no remorse over sharing. You know what I remember when I wake up at night and have regret and remorse? Self-indulgence. Church, when I felt I was entitled, I should be allowed. Are you with me? You can't take hold of true life in that way. What you take hold of is a plethora of memories that you don't find any joy in. I have memories about good things this church has done. I mean, just good things we did. and they make me feel like I lived well. This wonderful campus that we built together, it's a beautiful place. It had to be beautiful. Do you get that? It had to be beautiful. It's part of this whole thinking about the Christian life. We have to think about how do we make it more beautiful. It's an expression of our faith. I have no regret about the beautiful space we created here. I have regret about some of the other ways we wasted money, and I wish I had it back. I have no regret about what we've given away as a church. And we've given away hundreds of thousands of dollars. I have no regret. I wouldn't take a dime of it back. True life isn't, you can't consume your way to true life. Do you get that? You create a true life by making it part of your code to do good on every occasion that you have the opportunity. You create a true life by creating beauty and honor. You create a true life by being willing to give things away. You create a true life by sharing what is best in who you are, not hoarding it. In his book, Townsend has five principles. I'm going to quickly share them with you. He says there's only one way to overcome entitlement, and that is what he calls the hard way. The hard way is doing the hard job you should do instead of thinking somebody else should have to do it. This is what he says. Principle one, humility and dependence. We are completely dependent on God. If I'm going to live the true life, I have to be humble and acknowledge my security is not in what I have. My security is in the Christ who loves me and gave himself for me. The second principle, connectedness. We are designed to live in connectedness with each other. Do you see why giving things away and sharing is so important? It's at the core of being connected. Principle three, ownership. We take responsibility for our choices. I am responsible when I choose not to do the good thing I know I should do. I can't blame it on anybody else. I am responsible when I'm too selfish to let go of something that would be more of a blessing to someone else than it is to me. Church, on the other hand, I'm also responsible when I will let it go. God says, well done, son. You get it. Four, accepting the negative. Your flaws can't be forgiven and healed until you admit them. Every one of us need to look ourselves squarely in the mirror and say, these four things should be growing in your life. If you're thinking this isn't for me, you're in trouble. If you're saying, I'm taking ownership of this, I'm owning this. Five, find your role. To live long and contentedly, find your purpose in life and fulfill it every day. Do you hear that, church? So, here's what I'm trying to say. Our culture has lied to us. It tells us the way to live the good life is to consume your way to the good life. The Apostle Paul tells us the truth. You can't get there that way. You don't end up where you want to be that way. And modern psychology supports Paul. Our dear Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I appreciate your willingness to hassle with us and teach us a better way. Father, I pray for myself and for everyone who's here tonight. I pray that we could take this instruction from Paul seriously. I pray that we would lay a foundation for a really good life to come. And I pray that we would consciously strategize these four instructions that Paul gave us. And then, Father, I pray that our lives would be more beautiful, our homes would be more beautiful, our workplaces would be more effective, and our church would be a place where souls thrive. And I ask it in Christ's name.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.